So we have been talking about moving forward in that Christian walk, right? Last week, Scott talked about sin and trauma and the difference between those two. And simple difference would be sin being the wrong things that we do personally, while trauma would be the wrong things that are done to us by others. And it's just a result of we live in a fallen world. People make choices. And a lot of times, things happen to us that are wrong and that are awful and that are very traumatic. And God wants to heal us. He wants to just not just save us, but he wants to heal us, that we can walk forward in truth, we can walk forward in victory, we can walk forward in love, that we're not just the walking wounded. Man, God wants to set us free from those wounds that we have experienced. So that's kind of what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about, well, how do we move forward into freedom? All right, so I've had these things happen to me. Oftentimes when we're quite young, these things have happened to us, these traumatic things. How do I move forward in healing? Like, what does God want to do? Because I want an abundant, triumphant life in Christ. And I know that some of us, and I've done this too, so I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. In fact, when Scott was like, hey, I think you should be teaching about this, I was like, oh no, I really don't, because you often get challenged on the thing, the very thing that you are sharing about. So this has definitely been something that has been a real battle for me in my life. And I can stall that healing process. So we can stall that healing process that the Lord has for us. But hopefully today's message is going to encourage us and give us that little push necessary to keep walking forward in that state of wholeness. And the awesome and amazing thing about God, one of the awesome and amazing things about God, is he doesn't impose his will on us. He's not going to make us do any of these things. It is all voluntary. But I know I want to be more whole. And so when he stirs up things in my heart, when he stirs up things in my life, when he maybe stirs up things in you, it's an opportunity. It's an invitation from God to take a look at what he's stirring up and decide, okay, I've been carrying this around for a really long time and I don't want to carry it around anymore. I want to leave it with God. I want to have healing over this area. So if some of the things that I say today, if they might, I don't know, they might touch you, they might touch kind of a sore and sensitive spot in you. And that might just be the Lord wanting to cleanse those wounds, heal those wounds. So don't be afraid. So if repentance is the necessary step to deal with sin, what do you think would be the necessary step to deal with trauma? I'm just going to throw that out there. What do we do about the hurts that are inflicted on us? How do we get healed from that? Anybody? Oh, well done. That's exactly forgiveness. Did everybody hear that? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just between me and God. Like, I don't just come and repent of the things that I've done so that I'm right with the Lord. I mean, that's a very important step. But in order to walk forward and to be healed from some of the trauma that we've experienced, we also have to extend forgiveness to one another. And it's a topic that we need some reminders in every now and again. It can be really easy to forget some of these basic principles of forgiveness if we're not regularly practicing them. And I'm not going to ask anybody to, you know, have a show of hands or anything, but maybe even in just hearing that, maybe you're thinking to yourself, yeah, you know, there maybe are a couple of areas where I'm kind of holding on to some hurt and some pain, and I don't really want to forgive a person for what they've done. So I've got a little true and false quiz here that we're just going to go through today just to kind of unpack this idea of forgiveness. So there we go. There's that first one. So true or false? Forgiveness is an option based on our feelings. All right, someone's done something to me. I get angry and I'm going to forgive them when I am darn ready to forgive them. What do you reckon? Is that true or false there? Oh, that is absolutely false, man. Forgiveness is an act of obedience to God. What is something that we've kind of been learning about our emotions and our feelings? They can't always be trusted, right? Sometimes they're based on a lie. Sometimes they're a reaction to a wrong way of thinking. Mark 11:25 says something quite interesting. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. So this verse is telling us when something is brought to mind, oftentimes when we're drawing near to God, sometimes things get brought up, they get brought to mind. And the Lord doesn't want us to just kind of wait until we feel like forgiving that person. He really would like that instant obedience, that instant forgiveness of somebody. And I'm not going to lie, I mean, that's a pretty challenging thing. If you don't feel like forgiving somebody, what do you do? But the second part of it, and we'll kind of go through that in a little bit, but the second part of this verse is quite sobering. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. This seems to be saying that if we hold on to unforgiveness, if we refuse to forgive somebody, somehow we are also withholding forgiveness between us and the Lord. And I don't understand how this works. To me, that just doesn't make sense to my natural mind. But this is the reality, that when I refuse to forgive, somehow I block God's forgiveness as well. And I know I don't want that. I don't want God's forgiveness blocked in my life. Maybe two or three years ago, when Scott and I were teaching about strongholds, and unforgiveness was one of those strongholds that gets built up in our life brick by brick as we refuse to forgive. One of the messages that was going around was by a pastor from the States named John Bevere. And he has a really good one-hour YouTube video called The Bait of Satan. And it's about offense and taking offense and refusing to forgive. I think we might even have a copy of the book here. But the sermon, it's only about 45, 50 minutes long, but it's really, really good. And it kind of unpacks this whole idea of how we block God's forgiveness. So if this is, I mean, I know it definitely, for me, it really hit home with some of the things that I was dealing with at the time. So if you're interested and you want to write that down or whatever, or see me afterward, I can remind you what it's called, because it's really, really helpful. It's really good. But if we wait until we feel like forgiving someone, all we're doing is we're just keeping our mind and our emotions pushed in that same negative direction. We've got to break through that. Corrie Ten Boom is an amazing, amazing woman. She and her family hid Jewish people during World War II in Holland, I believe. And she tells a story of after they were sent to a concentration camp. Her sister died in this concentration camp. But after World War II, she traveled around and she shared with people their experiences and what they did and how the Lord just worked in her during this whole time. And she said at one point, she was in the hall, she was sharing, she was preaching, and afterward, a lot of people wanted to come up and meet her because she was quite the celebrity. And she said in line, she saw this man who was one of the guards at the camp where her sister died. And she was just like, oh my, like, I can't fake, like, it's been years since I've seen this man, and all those memories and all the hurt and the pain and her sister's death. I mean, all of this just came rushing back into her. And she was like, oh my God, I can't talk to this man. Like, this is, he was cruel. He was, just tormented us. And it's like she said she was instantly back in the showers just remembering him leering at them. And, it was like all this awful, terrible, negative emotions started coming forward. And he came up to her and he was like, "Oh, Sister Ten Boom, I've become a Christian. God has forgiven me. I am so sorry for what, you know, for what I did. And man, I just want to shake your hand." And she was like, "Oh, God, I do not feel like shaking this man's hand. I don't care if he's become a Christian." I was like, "Oh." And the Lord just said, "Look, I've forgiven you. I have forgiven him. Let's bring some healing into this situation." So she said she just put her hand forward. She didn't feel like it. She put her hand forward and she shook this man's hand. And she said instantly she was flooded with such peace and love for this person. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, all right? We don't always get that instant right feeling. But God still wants us to pursue forgiveness even if we don't feel like it. Our emotions eventually do come into line. They do. All righty. Another next true and false one here. Forgiveness is a good idea when someone deserves it. Oh, that one's pretty easy too. Huh? Of course that's false, right? None of us really deserve forgiveness, yet God gives it to us. Just like that guard that Corrie Ten Boom was talking to. Did he deserve to be forgiven for all of the things that he had done? I mean, look, none of us do. Luke 6, 32 through 37 says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." So again, there seems to be this link between us forgiving and us being forgiven. And what these verses here are telling us is, it's like, man, we need to emulate and imitate the Heavenly Father, who is merciful, who extends mercy, who extends grace. We shouldn't just write somebody off. Oh, that person's never going to change. That person's never going to grow. That person's never going to learn. They're always going to keep doing those same things. We are simply told to be merciful and forgive, because that's God's character, and that's what he's working in us. So this is linked closely here to the next one. Forgiveness requires other people to confess or say they're sorry. This is a huge one. What's that? This is a big one, isn't it? A lot of us have this idea that in order to offer forgiveness to somebody, that person actually has to apologize. It doesn't seem logical, but the answer is false. It doesn't matter what that other person has done, whether or not they repent. That person can never, ever repent. And yet God still calls us to forgive this person. We can't force somebody to change. We can only be responsible for our own choices. We can't choose how somebody is going to treat us, but we can choose to forgive. And this is very challenging to me as an individual. I would really prefer, if somebody hurt me or betrayed me, I really want them to like crawl on their knees over broken glass and come begging me to forgive them. And then I kind of want to sit there and like make them squirm for a little while, right? But God does not make that a requirement. So forgiveness is that step, a step in the direction of restoring our relationship with God. A lot of times it almost doesn't even have really anything to do with the person who has offended us. It's about us being, continuing to be that channel of God's love. But when we hold on to that offense against us, whether or not that person repents, we're actually putting our relationship with the Lord in jeopardy. And I have found that to be huge in my life. When I refuse to forgive, man, I just quench God's love from flowing through me like that. So forgiveness is an individual act that we choose to do regardless of the other person's actions. Alrighty. Forgiveness is the same thing as reconciliation. Yeah, of course, that's false as well. To forgive is not the same thing as to reconcile. So reconciliation is when two or more people come together again in mutual trust. And this doesn't always happen when we forgive somebody. It takes one person to forgive, but it takes two people, at least two people, to reconcile. Now, God's heart, of course, is always going to be for reconciliation. But sometimes, if the other person will not try, if they will not repent, if they will not change, reconciliation is not possible. But we still have the responsibility to forgive that person. But this is where the idea of forgiveness is misapplied, especially in areas of severe trauma or severe abuse, where perhaps well-meaning or even ignorant church leaders or other Christians will try and get a deeply wounded person to just forgive that perpetuator of abuse. And look, they've forgiven, everything's hunky-dory, the relationship's restored. Wives are encouraged to forgive their abusive husbands and go back and live with them as if nothing had happened, if there's no repentance. But if you have a person who continually puts you down, insults you, puts you in physical danger perhaps, and doesn't really seem interested in changing, you can still forgive that person and yet still keep a distance from them, right? Until there is true repentance, but perhaps even deeds of repentance, depending on what the situation is. It would be foolish if we allowed a toxic person to continue to influence us, if we continue to give them that place of influence. We can forgive them, right? Remember, because that's, again, is that's between us and the Lord. We are letting God be, letting God deal with that person. But we don't have to continually expose ourselves to that kind of toxicity. And the beautiful thing is that when we have truly forgiven, it's like the Lord often is freed up to move in that person's life. That's another thing that unforgiveness does. And I'm not quite sure how it does it. But sometimes when we refuse to forgive, we're actually keeping the Lord from being able to deal with that person. Our unforgiveness blocks. It just muddies that whole relationship. I think I've shared this before, that there was a person who was talking with Scott and was like, "Hey, I just wanted you to know that I just wanted to forgive you for this offense." And Scott was like, "Well, that's kind of odd. I don't really remember doing that, but okay, that's fine." And just a few, like literally like the next day, the Lord started to work on my heart. And I realized, like, I didn't know about this. Scott hadn't told me about this, but I realized that I had actually offended that person. And I was like, "Wow, that's really, I didn't mean to," and I went to this person and said, "Hey, I'm really sorry." And then I heard that person had talked with Scott, and because that person had granted forgiveness in a sense and made that relationship right, there was something freed up in me, between God and me, for me to actually hear, "Oh, I offended somebody and I didn't mean to. Oh, I'm sorry." And I was able to go and apologize. And again, that doesn't always happen. I mean, that's a pretty extreme example. But I do think that when we hold on to unforgiveness, we do block the Lord's ability to work in that situation. Alrighty. Forgiveness is rewarded by God. True or false? I thought I'd throw a true one in there. Here we go. Maybe. What'd I do? Oh. There it is. Come. That's right. Living by kingdom principles brings other benefits. Have you ever heard this kind of idea of Like an original offense can be like somebody sticking a knife into us, right? But unforgiveness is like taking that knife out and then like continuing to stab yourself. Or unforgiveness can be like preparing poison for your enemy and then drinking it yourself. There is something toxic about that unforgiveness. But cleansing ourselves from this bitterness, it's very healing, and it will be rewarded by the Lord. Proverbs 25, 21 through 22 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Being able to truly forgive somebody and to be able to step out and love them, it's a very healing, very cleansing process. Forgiveness is challenging to offer in our own strength. Of course, that's going to be true, because forgiveness is not a natural response. Our natural, unregenerated response is to hold a grudge, nurture unforgiveness until it takes on a life of its own. The idea of revenge is common and expected in almost every single culture. In some cultures, it's actually celebrated, the idea of revenge. But under the power of the Holy Spirit, we can forgive and even go on to treat someone kindly who has treated us unfairly. And I mean, the amazing thing about that is it stops that cycle of revenge, right? Because somebody does something to us to hurt us, and we hold on to that unforgiveness. And what do we want to do? We want to like visit that tenfold on them, right? And then they come back, you know? And so it's like forgiveness just breaks that cycle of revenge. It breaks that cycle of getting back at somebody. Oops. There we go. All right. Forgiveness means minimizing the hurt or wrong that was done to us or pardoning the offense. Is this true or false? What do you reckon? Are you guys awake out there? Oh, you already saw. Oh, you already saw that was false. Okay. You meant, okay, there you go. This is another area where it's really easy to get tripped up. We make mistake forgiveness for exoneration. One of the things that we always tried to teach our kids when they were fighting and when they were young, because they don't fight now, obviously. When they were fighting, when they, you know, and somebody did something to somebody else and they needed to apologize and they said, "I'm sorry." We always encourage the other person to say, "I forgive you," not "it's okay" or "it's not a big deal." Because that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't letting somebody off the hook for what they've done. It doesn't mean that what they did was not, in some situations, really horrible and really awful. It's not saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter." That's not what forgiveness is. We offer forgiveness, but it doesn't alleviate the consequences for the other person. All it means is that we are releasing them to God for God to deal with. Because it does talk about the Lord being our vengeance. But if we hold on to the anger that's associated with that hurt, we're not going to heal. So the righteous anger from seeing that offense happen, that in itself is not a sin. I think Scott used the example last week as well of Jesus getting angry with those who set up the temple as a marketplace. Like that's anger over sin is fine, but it's when we hold on to it and we nurture it and we let it consume us, that's when that unforgiveness gets in. So only God pardons. Only God is the one who brings vengeance. And he's the ultimate judge. So we've got to release people to him. And I know that I have forgiven somebody when I stop imagining all the terrible punishments that I'm going to do to them. Once I forgive them, like if I get my hands on them, I plan all kinds of terrible things. And well, some of this is kind of funny and lighthearted. It's like, I don't want to make light of the fact that there are some really painful scenarios that some of us have gone through. And forgiveness can be quite a process. I know that sometimes there have been times where I've had to pray, Lord, I don't even want to forgive this person. Just give me the desire to even think about wanting to forgive them. We can do little baby steps there toward forgiveness. But in order for those deep, deep wounds to heal, it's like forgiveness is really, really important. All right, forgiveness is to be continually offered. That one's a pretty easy one. What do you reckon? Forgiveness is to be continually offered would be true. If you remember, Peter came to Jesus and he's like, oh, look, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7. I don't know who remembers the Veggie Tales, the Grapes of Wrath. I always think of that episode of Veggie Tales about forgiveness. So if somebody does something 490 times, we're still to offer forgiveness. And I don't think it just means that repeat offender. I think sometimes it can also have to do with somebody who's done something to us and we keep thinking about it. And every time we think about it, we get angry, or every time we think about it, that hurt is still there. And God wants to continually do deeper and deeper and deeper levels of healing in us. Maybe 490 times worth of healing. I don't know. I can, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I was just at home, I was making the bed, and I was just thinking about something that happened to me as a young child. A scenario where I really had thought, no, I had forgiven this person and this situation, I had really let go. And I don't know, I was just thinking about it and I got really, I got quite angry. And I've figured out that anytime I get stirred up about something, it's usually because God wants to deal with something. So I'm like, well, God, what is this about? He's like, there's just a deeper level of healing that I want to bring you on. And in order for you to experience this healing, there needs to be a deeper level of forgiveness. I'm like, gosh, God, I thought I'd forgiven that person. Like this, you know, I was like 12 years old. And I thought, you know, nope. He wanted me to go back, revisit it, because there was still some pain there. There was still some anger there. All right. And so I did. Lord, forgive that person. Bless that person. And there was a deeper healing. There was being set free. And that, again, is that goal, is that we want to be set free from that trauma. We want to be healed from the trauma that we have experienced. And it takes time sometimes, especially for some of that really deep and hurtful things that have happened. And that's all right. All right, last question here. Unforgiveness will only affect our relationship with the person we won't forgive. That's true or false? Unforgiveness will only affect our relationship with the person. Someone's done something to me. I am not going to forgive them. I'm going to cut them out of my life, and I'm going to go forward, and everything's going to be all right with everybody else around me. What do you reckon? That is absolutely false. Because here's what happens, okay? So somebody has done something to me. I've cut them out of my life. I'm refusing to forgive, right? And then somebody else comes along and they do something, maybe even unintentionally, and it kind of reminds me of what that original person did. And because I've got a hardened heart and I don't want to forgive that person, this other person's offense, I'm going to magnify it. And I'm not going to forgive them either. And this goes on and on and on. So we think We think we can contain it. Jesus tells a parable about someone who refuses to forgive. They have been forgiven, right? They go, I think they owe a debt to the king, and the king forgives them of this huge debt, and then they turn and they go and they find somebody who owes them a little bit, and they will not forgive that debt. And the king says, oh, look, take them and throw them in jail until they can pay. Torment them, is what the Bible says. And this is what unforgiveness does, is it torments us, and it spills over into every relationship in our life, every facet. So sometimes we can carry that burden of unforgiveness from way, way back, and we'll end up getting angry at the littlest thing. Every slight becomes a betrayal. Every comment, however innocent it might be, becomes an insult. Oftentimes we can have quite a quick temper. Anything that doesn't go our way or anything that anybody does, somebody cuts us off in traffic, you know, that can be a real sign that there is something in there. I noticed a couple of people elbowing each other. That can be a sign that there is some unforgiveness that God really wants to deal with. Because we end up blowing things out of proportion. And again, I don't want to pretend like this is something really easy. I mean, that was one of the questions, right? Oh, yeah, forgiveness. It's super easy. It comes really naturally. But God wants, he wants to help us. He wants to help us see those relationships in our life, to see those that trauma forgiven. So just to recap here, forgiveness does not need to wait for our feelings to come into line. It doesn't need to wait until that person deserves it. It also doesn't minimize or excuse the hurt and trauma we've experienced. We're not the ones that absolve the offense, right? We're just the ones that forgive. We let it go and we let God deal with that person. Forgiveness does take supernatural strength. It does need to be continually applied. And it does have a reward, the least of which is that of our own healing. And finally, unforgiveness will get in there and it will poison every relationship unless it's dealt with.